Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Black Brick. Last week, we read, I opened my eyes to the sound of sirens. My head hurt. And when I touched it, my hand came away bloody. Bits of hazy memory came back until I remembered that Tom had hit me. Then, like an avalanche, I remembered everything at once. I sat up too quickly and became dizzy, making me afraid I would black out again. Taking several deep breaths, I looked around and recognized the balcony of the hotel. It could not have been more than 10 minutes since I had lost consciousness. My rifle lay beside me, and Shannon and the others were gone. Crawling, I approached the steel bars of the balcony and looked down at the emergency workers on the fifth floor of the office building. Through the window, I could make out a body on a gurney. The face was not visible, but by the suit the corpse was wearing, my guess was that the victim was Vargo. First Bruce Andrews and now Lane Vargo. It was not safe to be an executive for Diagon Corporation. I picked up my rifle and entered the hotel room, detaching the magazine. I saw that it was still full. I was halfway through breaking down the rifle when I thought to check the serial number. I could not say what made me do it, but I chalked it up to healthy paranoia. It had not been removed. I slowly let out my breath. Black Brick's normal procedure was to remove anything that could identify a weapon. Beltran insisted on it. The serial number was always filed off. I was sure it could be traced to an address that would have more incriminating evidence on me. I must have woken up earlier than they planned. Otherwise, I would have arisen to the police pounding on my hotel room door. I finished stowing the rifle in the suitcase and left the room. Several minutes later, I found the stairs and left the building. And now? 27. It was a bright sunny day, but the wind was cold and biting. I zipped up my jacket, wishing that I had a full coat. I was planning to be outside most of the day and already felt the chill creeping in. That was not a good sign. I did not know how long it would be before the authorities would know everything about me, but I figured Beltran would help the process along. After my escape from the hotel, I had purchased an airline ticket to Southern Florida using my phone and Sam Schiever credit card. Afterward, I destroyed the phone and trashed the credit card. That would hopefully throw the police off my scent long enough to figure out what I was going to do. Next, I'd found a small, dingy motel and slept for almost 10 hours before waking to my new world. After checking several news websites to make sure that my picture was not being splashed all over the internet, I had gone shopping using a debit card from an account I'd set up in secret a long time ago. Among other things, I'd purchased black hair dye, makeup, and a tablet, and multiple disposable cell phones. I ducked into a coffee shop, placed an order, and took a table at the back facing the door. The place had a decent crowd, but there were still several empty tables. I had a few seconds of panic when I noticed a blonde woman with her back towards me that looked remarkably like Shannon. Doing my best not to stare, I kept my eye on her until she turned enough for me to see her face and determined it was somebody else. So far, I had not been able to process Shannon's betrayal. Because I had been hoping for reconciliation with her, she'd been able to play me like a fiddle and kept me from picking up any clues about what she was planning to do. Closing my eyes, I tried to clear my mind and free myself of the hurt. It did not work. I suspected it would be a long time before it would heal. I unfolded a newspaper that I'd purchased earlier in the day and read the main story about Vargo's assassination. They did not have a name or picture for me yet, but it was just a matter of time. I was halfway down the page when I froze and had to keep from looking around warily. Lane Vargo, in addition to being CEO of Diagon, was also the brother of the U.S. Senator Sandra Vargo McCulloch. How had I missed that? How many real government agents would be flown in to investigate? How many police would be assigned to the case? This was not going to go away anytime soon. Without realizing it, I reached for my drink and took a sip. On the way back down, my hand shook enough that I spilled some. I set the cup down and looked around the shop. Were the businessmen at the next table over, looking my way just a bit too often? Was there something wrong with the couple that had come into the coffee shop moments after me and now sat at the next table over? I almost left. Pulling the paper up again, I took several deep breaths. It seemed to help until I thought once again about Vargo's sister, and then the panic started all over again. I closed my eyes and reviewed my actions of the last 2 days. I had done everything right. Of that, I was certain. Another deep breath. And another. My blonde hair was now black, and the makeup I wore obfuscated my face. My own mother, were she alive today, would not recognize me. That thought was helping until I realized if they caught me, I would never be able to find the man who killed my parents. One problem at a time. I continued my deep breaths. After I finished my food, I fished out my tablet and went to the first news website that I could find and nearly dropped the tablet when the screen loaded. I was looking at a picture of myself with a headline, "Assassin Identified as Sam Cheever, a Troubled Kingstone Student." I set the tablet down on the table to read, not trusting myself to hold it with steady hands. A whole biography had been provided, and the further I got, I found myself fantasizing about strangling Beltran, because I was basically reading the cover document from a file Beltran had given me several years ago when I had been enrolled at Kingstone. Little things about my Sam Cheever identity jumped out that had seemed trivial before. Sam's father had been killed in the Second Gulf War, and his mother had committed suicide shortly after that. I had remembered thinking at the time that the analyst writing this had an active imagination and should have considered a career as a novelist. As I reread Sam Cheever's past with fresh eyes, I realized that the setup had been a long time in coming. It was that, or all the black brick cover stories were laid out with enough details that could point to frustration with the government in case one of Beltran's people had to be set loose. I guess that made more sense. I finished the article and searched for more. At present, there was very little known about Sam Cheever. I had a feeling that would change in a big way. I packed up my stuff and made sure to leave a decent tip. I did not want to be remembered for being too generous or cheap. All I needed was to be forgotten. I had only made it several blocks before a realization set in. How long would it be before the train accident and mall bomb were traced back and blamed on me? I had to force myself to keep walking. How long would it be before every law enforcement officer in the U.S. would be on the lookout for me? Every grade school student in the world would know my face. And every news pundit calling for my head. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.